much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I've been born ready. If you're waiting on me, you're backing up. Let's go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
So the Patriots on the cusp of making it 4 in the 21st century. Belichick's already taken the shower. His team down by 10 in the fourth quarter. Bob Kraft and Jonathan Kraft are already down there. And one kneel down should end the game. What a journey. Well, the sky was falling in early October. There's a lot of bright sunshine right now in Foxborough and all over New England. And after the wackiest lead-up to a Super Bowl ever, the New England Patriots are the NFL champions.
Wah, wah, wah.
And now,
February. February. February.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 2nd of what that guy said, February.
So that happened.
That did happen, right? That wasn't just a nightmare. I saw that with my own eyes for reals in the world. Today that happened?
Yeah.
So
there was that.
That's what the thing that happened.
In real life. who saw that coming? Zero people?
Nobody saw that.
No.
You know, it's funny. They have a I didn't see it on that particular play, but they have a thing that they do in sports, in football games, where they have percentages of chances that teams will win. And it's a graph that goes throughout the game. And if you had that graph, what do you think the percentage of chance that the Seahawks would win, you know, 1 foot out on a first down with 22 seconds left on the clock? Like, what are the
100%?
If you play that game 100 times, do the Seahawks win it 94 of them, 95 of them?
I would think. Yeah.
I'm serious. I don't know that. It's first and goal, right?
Yes. On
the one. Okay, so I think that's 100%. I think you win it any way it goes, you win.
Well, it was the only
except for that one.
It was the only interception Russell Wilson threw all night. It was, and as Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network pointed out last night, it was the only interception thrown in the NFL from the 1 yard line all season long. So it's extraordinarily rare that something like that happens. Look, we talk about this all the time in sports, especially football. The margin of error is so tiny between winning and losing. Look how many games we see all season long that somebody misses it because of one, you know, one player, 1 foot out of bound or 1 second on the clock.
Yep.
I mean, it's just that's – look, the Patriots deserve to win. I mean, the Seahawks certainly played well enough to win until they didn't. And that's what happens.
Well, it's crazy.
It was crazy. I mean, as insane as the NFC Championship game was that the Seahawks came back and won – I mean, it looked like that was, you know, it looked like they were still blessed last night. I mean, that Jermaine Kearse bobble on the ground.
That was unbelievable.
It was one of the craziest things you've ever seen. Like, how, I don't know that I've ever seen a ball get bounced that many times by one player and still be a catch.
The defender on that play was the same guy that intercepted the very last one.
That's right.
That same guy.
Same guy.
Unbelievable.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, and for folks who didn't see it, I mean, he dropped, you know, the ball bounced off of him. He fell to the ground and then just kept bouncing it back up into the air with various parts of his body until he finally caught it. And it was a catch. And that's what set him up to get Marshawn Lynch down to within the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And then you feel like it's easy at that point, right? Like, there's nothing the Patriots can do to stop that. Nothing.
First of all, they can't stop. There's no team that could stop Marshawn Lynch on the one.
Right.
For the most part,
right.
That's a guarantee.
His whole career. Right, exactly.
Okay. Let's say you don't hand it off to him. Russell Wilson runs it.
Right, exactly.
And there's no team that can stop that from the 1 yard line. So how many plays do you have to go down before you go, let's throw it? That's insanity.
Well, you don't do it on the first down, I'll tell you that. Or second down, I guess it was. I guess it was actually second down. But you don't do it then. You've got plenty of chances.
I was thinking about this. If that works and they score a touchdown, do people go, what a gutsy call? Because I still think, even if it had worked, that was a stupid call.
Yeah.
Because why risk it?
Well, we'll talk about this next hour because we've got the tape of Coach Carroll who's explaining why he did it. He thought he had a good reason to throw it. And, you know, if the play had worked, he would have had a good reason to throw it. But the play doesn't work. Obviously, it's easy for us to second guess. But I don't know. I haven't seen any professional football player or coach or expert agree with the call.
Yeah.
say that I get why he did it. So
did Pete Carroll make that call, or was it the
Pete Carroll,
offensive coach?
That's what he said.
He took full responsibility for it.
I know he did, but he would have done that no matter what.
Yeah, maybe so.
You know,
I mean, it was unbelievable. That's why we watch sports. You know, it's unbelievable. What does Andrew say? The greatest reality show on earth. You know what I mean? It was amazing. What was it like? Did you have a party, Lisa? Sounds like you watched the game.
Well, here's my boyfriend and his daughters ran the Huntington Beach Marathon that morning, and then came back and consumed everything.
Right, good.
And that was quite the party, and drank. So that was really.
So is this the first football game you've watched since the last Super Bowl?
Probably.
I was at a party, believe it or not, you guys, and I witnessed, and I've only ever seen this in viral videos before, I witnessed a five-year-old crying her eyes out at the end of that game, because she's a Seahawks fan.
Family's
a Seahawks fan. For real, crying her eyes out.
That wasn't that YouTube video?
No, this was, I saw it with my own eyes, but I love the Seahawks, they're not supposed to lose. It was very, very funny. So it's good that she's learning heartbreak early.
Yes. That's what sports is good for.
That's right.
Did somebody stand up and yell,
no! Somebody should have. That's for sure.
All right.
We'll talk about it more next hour, and maybe someone can explain to me what's going on. But congratulations to the Patriots. They deserve to win, as much as it hurts to see it go down like that. I would have rather been blown out.
Yeah. So that happened.
That happened.
Uh-huh.
It sure did.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeto, shall we?
Sounds like something a rapist might say.
How dare you?
We're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about that. Mm-hmm. Because that occurred. So
it happened.
That happened. Did you see the Carl's Jr. commercial?
You know what? I did not see that one.
I don't think I did either.
I did switch locations at halftime. Is that when it aired, around halftime?
I don't remember.
I went back when I got home and watched Katy Perry. So I did see that. But I did not see the commercial.
You mean
but I've seen it online before the game.
What do you mean you switched locations? You left the party you were at?
No, left my house to go to the party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At halftime?
Yes.
That's weird.
I went to get pizza at halftime. Yeah. So.
Where did it air in the game, and how was it?
I don't remember, and awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen it online 150 times, so I feel like I'm well-versed in the young lady that's coming in to join us.
Slow
today.
Motion? Have you done it in slow motion?
No, I got to try that.
You should. Harvey Levin from TMZ. Be on the program.
Okay.
Justin Bieber, he's really just created a character that's a dick. It's not him.
Wow, that's commitment.
It's a character. And we have Leslie Bibb in the studio today,
How about that?
That's
talking
right.
about Salem Rogers, Model of the Year 1998. She's
awesome.
New, I guess, a TV pilot that Amazon is putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And is really great. So we're going to have her in the studio today, and then we're going to ask what happened yesterday, too, because that happened. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin DeBeto Show. It is 5:51.
If you missed this, late in the show on Friday, our friend Travis Barker from Blink 182 stopped by, and obviously there's been a lot going on in the Blink camp this week, and he was very candid about what's going on with him and with Mark and with Tom and with everything he told us. Everything that's that he knows up till this point. So you want to check that out. We got it for you again right after the top of the hour. It's Monday morning, 5:52. Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Sad news over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Bobby Christina Brown, Whitney Houston's 21-year-old daughter with Bobby Brown, is in a medically induced coma this morning after she was found.
Beach touching sound effect tribute.
After she was found unresponsive in a bathtub Saturday morning around 10:30 a.m. by her husband, Nick Gordon, and a friend, they gave her CPR, and then she was taken to North Fulton Hospital in suburban Atlanta. The incident, of course, is eerily similar to her mother's death on February 11th, 2012, when she was also found unresponsive in a bathtub almost exactly 3 years ago. So it was kind of creepy on a lot of levels.
It was. Do we know anything about, I mean, have we heard anything about whether there are drugs involved or anything like that? I haven't.
You haven't?
All we have is the information that I gave you as of right now. But I know she had issues with drugs, as did her husband. So speculation says it could be involved, of course. But we won't know until we know what's going on later on, if ever. Meanwhile, talking about celebrities and hospitals, Val Kilmer was hospitalized at UCLA Medical Center over the weekend. He started coughing up blood, which is really never a good thing.
Wow. Nope.
He thanked everyone for their support. He said I have not had a tumor or a tumor operation or any operation. Word was that he had a problem in his throat. He said, I had a complication, whereas the best to receive care was to stay under the watchful eye of UCLA ICU. So apparently some issue, but it's not a tumor, in the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's not a tumor. Congratulations to Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel. They are indeed expecting their first baby. Joey Fatone sort of broke the news for them last week, but Justin himself posted a photo kissing his wife's pregnant belly, saying, thank you, everyone, for the birthday wishes. This year I'm getting the greatest gift ever. Can't wait. Hashtag boy or girl. Hashtag you never know. Hashtag we don't even know. Hashtag we are taking bets. So, there you go. Bill Cosby is so tired of reporters dogging him at concert appearances that he's now resorted to using a decoy.
A decoy Bill Cosby.
TMZ reports that Cosby was performing in Sandusky, Ohio this weekend, where a guy whose face was completely covered in a hoodie was rushed out by security to a waiting SUV. A reporter waiting to confront the comedian approached the imitation Cosby when he noticed the real Cosby being put into another nearby SUV within his sight. So they were running interference. They were running a fake Cos out the door.
That's hilarious.
So he could go out the other way. It's like Elvis, man.
You blame him?
No. But he shouldn't be out there doing comedy anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
This makes me happy. You know, Bruce Jenner is doing this docu-series about his change, his transgender process, his journey from man to woman.
Yeah.
Transgender?
Well, according to In Touch magazine,
wow.
Kris Jenner, not too happy about the fact that she is not in control of this series. That's going to be on E! That is, you know, this is her wheelhouse. For God's sake.
He left you, lady.
Can you imagine a reality show involving her family that she's not calling the shots on?
Yeah, that's crazy.
She's losing her mind. Because apparently all the kids said they'd be willing to be on the show with dad and stuff. So they will be there, and Kris will not be able to control the situation.
That's competition for her, right? If the Kardashians are on another show?
I can't imagine. I mean, it's all on E! It's all the same network. They won't be up against each other or anything, so... But it's great because she was on vacation in Paris, and she actually called the vacation short to come back to complain to everyone that she was not in control of this.
Really?
Once the news broke about his potential docuseries on E! So that's awesome.
So she came all the way back just to say, why am I not running
this?
Yes.
And to berate the kids. You have to tell me when things like this are going to happen. You knew this was going to happen. You knew your dad was doing this show. I wasn't aware of this. And so she berated the kids for not telling her. When something like this happens in the family, she needs to be the first to know because she is in control.
Kris heard it first.
First. She needs to hear it first.
Ralph, speaking of the Kardashians, what did you think of Kim's Super Bowl commercial?
I thought it was... She's horrible. She's not an actress. She can't even play herself very well. So I was...
And it also takes some of the fun out of it when she's self-aware and she's making fun of herself, too, right?
Yeah, but is she really? I mean, they wrote that for her.
I'm not sure she understood it.
I don't think she's that self-aware. Well, she wouldn't conduct her life the way she does if she really thought that way, right? And lastly, did you have the over or the under on the national anthem at the Super Bowl last night?
Over!
There you go. Kevin cashed in. Idina Menzel. Clocked in at just a hair over 2 minutes, I think 2 minutes and 3 seconds, which was the over. However, suspended on that prop bet was, taking money on that prop bet was suspended before the game.
Why?
They don't know yet. There's an investigation.
Interesting.
But they stopped taking money on that bet for some reason. And then some people claimed Idina Menzel held out the final note a little bit longer than she had in rehearsal, as if she was trying to make it stretch over a certain amount of time. People think perhaps there's some collusion going
on.
That's
weird.
Maybe somebody had hit some heavy money on the over, and they got to Idina Menzel.
Sure took that the flyover a long time.
That's what some people said, that she was waiting on the flyover. That's why she held that note at the end. But some people say, it's so weird. They stopped taking the prop bet money a couple hours before the game, and then she forces it to go to the over.
Interesting.
Huh. Some are suspecting that she deflated her lungs. And so they're going to have to investigate that and see if there's anything going on.
Well, I mean, I guess there's no reason to think that we all have heard that you can place a bet on the length of the anthem. I mean, why wouldn't the anthem singer have heard that as well?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody came to her and offered her big, big money to make sure it went that way.
Or to take a fall.
And by the way, John Travolta was there, too, so it's very possible that he was involved.
A dozen.
Exactly.
Today's celebrity birthday is Dwayne Dog the Bounty Hunter Chapman. is 62 years old today. Singer Shakira turns 38. Actress Bond girl Gemma Arterton celebrates her 29th birthday. And Jascha Mamet, the from Shoshana from Girls, is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, Hozier, who we love, who put on one of the great live performances ever on the Kevin and Bean show when he stopped by last year, is from Ireland, right?
Yeah.
He's Irish, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I remember. Sorry.
You can see him at Slane Castle in Ireland. That is K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 4. Also, you'll be qualified to see the official K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Hozier this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Unbelievable stuff. 9 o'clock this morning. We got that for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. That means we check in with our good friend Harvey Levin at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How's it going, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
Oh. Sorry, my bad.
Going great, man. How was your weekend? You enjoy the Super Bowl?
Oh my God! That was right. that was so unbelievable.
Yes,
so unbelievable.
Yes, we are dazzled and dizzy as a result of the end of that game.
You watch it and you go, I can't believe that happened. And then you go about your way, maybe you get a dessert or something, and then it comes back. You go, really? I can't believe that happened.
That's what we're talking about this morning. I mean, literally, nobody here can get over that play.
Yeah.
Nobody in this building. I mean, that's all people here are talking about. Thinking.
We don't know, although somebody should check to see if he got $100 million placed in an offshore account overnight. Because something's up, dude. Something is up. He's too good a coach to screw up that bad, right?
I know.
Well, anyway, we'll be talking much more about it on the show today, and I'm sure you'll be doing the same in the newsroom and on the site. But we got to ask you about a couple things, Harvey. First of all, congratulations once again. You broke the news last week that every major media outlet had to say, as reported on TMZ, and that was the Suge Knight shooting. How did you do that? Do you have people following Suge Knight around just assuming at some point he's going to shoot somebody?
Well,
it's a pretty good bet.
Realize this was pretty high profile because, you know, Dr. Dre was at this shoot for this, you know, for the NWA movie.
Right.
Dr. Dre was there. There were a
Ice
lot
Cube.
Of people there. Yeah, Ice Cube was there. And remember, Suge had been at this set about 20 minutes before the fatal accident, and he was kicked out, and there was a scuffle. And what we found out happened is, that this is going to depend on who you believe, Suge says that his friend Terry Carter, the guy that he ultimately killed, called him up and said that Dr. Dre told Terry that he wanted to make peace with Suge, so Terry was going to drive Suge over to this new location so they could sit down and make peace.
Right.
That's weird because they've had this beef for about 20 years. But anyway, that's his position. And he says when he showed up, all of a sudden people started attacking him in the car, and then he feared for his life, and he got out of there. Now, the problem with it is the only person now who can talk about that conversation is Suge Knight because he killed the other guy in the conversation.
And there's no security footage, which seems so rare these days that it's not on camera somewhere, right?
Well, let me tell you what happened. We found out the sheriff's department does have some footage of this thing. We confirmed this yesterday.
All right.
I don't know where the footage is because we talked to the place, the burger joint, where this all happened, and, you know, it's their parking lot. Their security camera didn't work, so they didn't get it. And then we went to all of the nearby businesses, and they all told us they didn't get it. So on a level, I would think that this is cell phone video, but then I talked to somebody else who's kind of involved in this who thought it might be some surveillance video, so we don't know, but there is some video of the incident.
Hmm. Were you at all surprised that Suge Knight, knowing the trouble he's had with the police in the past, knowing how much time he's already served, that he would flee the scene and take many, many hours to turn himself in?
Well, remember, he killed somebody. I mean, and not just kill somebody, but he backed up once, hit this guy Bone, who he was fighting right before. So he hits him with the car. He guns it in reverse, hits him, then backs up a second time. So what the police say is he tried hitting this guy. And when you do something like that, you don't want to stick around and wait for the police. So,
yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, remember, he abandoned the car in Westwood. And that's not what somebody does when they kind of innocently say, oh, I didn't even know I hit somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that Suge Knight might not be telling the truth? That's insane, Harvey.
Did I read on your site yesterday, Harvey, that he's going to post the $2 million bail and be out on the streets today?
Well, we talked to somebody who said it's unclear whether he's going to post today or not. He might, but I think he's going to post. But I don't know if it's going to be today. No, it could be. There's just some things going on.
You've got a lot of experience as an attorney and with the legal system. Don't you think Suge Knight is the definition of a flight risk? Shouldn't that guy be locked up as long as it takes?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is I mean, I shouldn't say funny. The telling thing is that when somebody hits and runs, by definition, they're a flight risk, right? Because they just ran from the law.
They did.
That's
just
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't give him a longer leash. That's what I'm suggesting. It'd be safer for the rest of us if you keep Suge Knight behind bars.
It seems like hit and run is the worst scenario for somebody who says I'm not a flight risk.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, TMZ.com is where you want to go for all the entertainment news. The very, very sad updates are coming in on the Bobby Christina situation. You are keeping us posted on that. And also an angle I've not seen anywhere else about maybe why Val Kilmer isn't treating what's going on in his throat properly. He could be a Christian Scientist. That's an amazing story. Check it out at TMZ.com. Look for him on the TV on Fox all day long today. And TMZ Live airing at 4. TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 3 on the Reels channel. Harvey, thanks for the time, sir. Have a great week.
Okay, guys, we'll see
you. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, actress Leslie Bibb is going to be here. And from the Carl's Jr. Super Bowl ad, she is all natural, don't you know? Charlotte McKinney is going to be here as well. Speaking of Super Bowl commercials, that's what I want in my Super Bowl commercials, is I want hot chicks wearing nothing, eating burgers, and Fast and the Furious 7 commercials. That's what I want in my Super Bowl commercials. Why was this year such an unbelievable downer?
I don't know. There were a lot of super negative commercials.
Well, heavy.
Yeah, heavy commercials. There was the commercial for Dodge where they interviewed all these people who were 100.
Right.
And looked like they may not get out their last breath before they were finished doing this commercial because they're all going to die within the next 15 minutes. And I guess that was some tie-in to how long Dodge has been around. There was the Nissan commercial of the little kid who basically grew up without a father because his dad was off racing cars and getting in accidents and almost dying, missed the kid's entire childhood. There was that one.
Yeah, that was weird, too, because it sort of didn't make sense.
Yes, it didn't make sense at all, except for the fact that he ended up buying a Nissan car to drive around on the streets because he raced a Nissan. He finally shows up to pick his kid up for school for the first time when the kid's like 17.
So get that car? Like, what? I don't...
Yeah, I didn't get the connection on some of these, too. Then there was the one that I think was for Microsoft, I think. The one that was about the kid with no legs or no feet or something.
Yeah.
It was on prosthetics.
Yep.
Nobody tunes into the... Ain't nobody got time for that. You don't tune into the Super Bowl to see little kids hopping around on wood, do you? And then, Nationwide is on our side, ladies and gentlemen.
That was unbelievable.
What the F was up with this commercial from Nationwide?
Wait! I'll never learn to ride a bike. Or get cooties.
No riding a bike. No kissing a girl.
I'll never learn to fly.
No flying.
Or travel the world with my best friend.
His dog.
And I won't ever get married.
How come? Why, little kid? Why?
I couldn't grow up. Because I died from an accident.
What?
At Nationwide, we believe in protecting what matters most. Your kids.
Okay.
Together, we can make safe happen.
So if you get Nationwide, that kid doesn't get in an accident?
He doesn't die.
Honestly, is that the point?
I think the point... Look, usually these insurance commercials are, hey, you're likely to get into a car accident at some point in your life. Make sure you've got the company that stands behind
you.
Or, God forbid, your house burns down. But if it does, our insurance company is there to pick you back up. What are we supposed to do with the dead kid at? Are we supposed to run out and buy Nationwide insurance because one day a flat screen TV may fall over on our child? Is that what they're asking us to do?
I think.
Come buy our insurance because one day your kid will get in the detergent or the dishwashing liquid under the sink and die like they showed in the commercial?
I don't know. Dude,
they were drowned in a tub?
There were probably like 30 of us at my Super Bowl party, and everybody was just quiet for a second, and then somebody went, come on! Boom!
You guys are being dense for comic effect, right?
We're not.
No. What's the point?
In the commercial, we will teach you how to make your home safer. for your kids. They say,
but they got in a car accident, didn't they?
No,
there's no car accident.
Oh, I thought he said got the car accident.
No, it was the
drowning. It was the getting into the chemicals under the sink, and it was the TV screen.
Most kids' childhood deaths happen at home.
Right.
With Nationwide, we'll help you make a safer home. They will give you tips on how to protect your kids. It's in the commercial.
I didn't hear that at all, by the way.
I didn't either.
Here's the only copy in the commercial that I saw.
At Nationwide,
no, it doesn't announce.
We believe in protecting what matters.
Oh, you're saying it was
on the screen.
I didn't
see
that.
You had to watch the commercial.
I did watch the commercial, but I was too busy crying over the dead kid.
It's an insurance company, though. They pay if worst-case scenario happens.
They're saying they're going beyond that. They're going beyond just the payout. They're going to help you make your home safer so that you don't have to deal with this. I thought it was genius.
As long as we get insurance from them?
No, you want to be in business with these people because Nationwide's not just about paying out insurance claims. They're about making your kids safer. They're more than just a check that gets written after a disaster happens.
Look,
they help you prevent the disaster.
That sounds like a valuable service, and if that's what their message was, it was lost on me. And I'm sorry for that. I wonder how many other people got that message. All I know is, hey, that kid's never going to grow up because he died. That's all I got.
Which is pretty effective advertising if you're a parent.
Kevin, but also super bummer.
What if it was a clown who died, Kevin? Would you feel happier then?
You're
what
at
if
the Super Bowl. You're having a party. Everybody's having
a clown exploded. It was loud and funny.
Look, I'm there to watch Katy Perry shake her boobs. Okay, that's what I'm
that
there to
there
do.
That was there too.
Not
that
to see this dead kid. All right, let's do another commercial, Ralph, because I don't think you've heard this one yet. This was a local ad that aired on the St. Louis NBC affiliate that was airing the Super Bowl game because they have some slots for local.
It's weird because I was watching my St. Louis feed. I was surprised I didn't see it.
This is an ad. It's mostly a little song, and it's basically a kid who shows up at the breakfast table, and his mom comes into the kitchen, and the kid is just all glassy-eyed and shaking his head and is tired, and there's no sound except for the song that you're about to hear, and she's basically like, what are you on? And she goes through his stuff, and she finds out he's on drugs, and he ends up overdosing and dying on heroin by the end of the ad, okay? Again, just in time for your Super Bowl party, listen to this song for the heroin ad.
First you stole prescription pills from your mom, you threw back a few, and then they were gone. So you're jonesing real bad. Yeah, you need some more.
Come on.
So you call a shady guy and say you're looking to score. And that's how you got addicted to heroin.
What is that?
He came over quick, said he got something new. For just $10, you snort or chew. Said just one time, and then you'd be fine. But soon you OD'd, and now you're dying. And that's how you got addicted to heroin. And that's how you OD'd on heroin.
Wow.
Have a great Super Bowl party, everybody.
Why don't you want Garfunkel notes to go to work?
So seriously, get Nationwide and they'll show you how to do heroin safely.
Once again, you're confused.
So sad that the dead kid from the Nationwide ad didn't live to see this showbiz beat, because I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, let's call him. Let's call him in Deskland and see what happens.
Hotline to heaven.
A little more attention detail on your end, a little less picking on the commercial, I think, maybe is the moral of that story.
I accept your score, and here's Ralph.
The ratings are in for last night's Super Bowl. Early indications are it is the most watched Super Bowl in history.
Wow.
It's a fad. It went last.
Yeah. Broken U.S. television records. The metered markets, the overnights, tell us it is a 49.7 household rating, a 72 share, which would seem to indicate that 72% of all televisions that were on at the time were tuned to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's something.
Pretty impressive.
And the 49.7 is that half the house, essentially half the households in America had the Super Bowl on.
Right.
That's amazing.
The previous high was 48.1, set 2 years ago when Baltimore was battling San Francisco on CBS. That game ended up averaging over 108 million viewers. So they're speculating this could be 115?
Wow.
They'll know more later, but
well, still. I mean, it always helps when a game is close, in the fourth quarter. That's when you start to really attract bodies.
Yeah, well, the Deflategate seemed to drive a lot of eyes to this Super Bowl as well. There was a ton of hype and press around the story.
That's right.
Beforehand, and so people were curious, especially to see if the cheaters would win. The cheaters or the punks? Who would win? Well, the punks almost had it, but then the cheaters pulled it out at the end.
The punks said, here you have it.
Yeah, and then they started a fight in the end zone because they're punks.
They should have advertised, hey, if you want to see the worst play calling in the history of the sport, you should tune in for the end of the game. They should have really hyped it up.
The punks didn't just limit themselves to the classless fight in the end zone. I don't know if you saw Doug Baldwin's touchdown, wide receiver Doug Baldwin. You may have noticed that he drew in a penalty flag for unsportsmanlike conduct after catching the touchdown to put the Seahawks up
yeah,
by two
and
scores.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, because television cut away from it.
Oh.
Yeah, NBC decided that you didn't need to see him pretending to pull his pants down and then pooping out the football in the end zone. They thought maybe that would be more offensive than the dead kid in the commercial, I guess they felt, for people watching the Super Bowl.
That's a pretty good touchdown celebration.
I knew you would think that.
That's pretty good.
I knew you would think that.
I mean, that's pretty good.
So, once again, stay classy, Seattle.
It is funny the things they choose to show on TV versus the things they don't, though, because these are people who are, I mean, that one play, what was this? Jeremy Lane, I think is his name, who broke his arm on the play, on that first interception. We all saw that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so much worse than seeing a guy pretend to poop.
Not if you're the NFL and you're trying to sell your product. You don't want guys pretending to crap in the end zone. I guess they feel maybe that's a little crass.
I don't know.
I could see that,
but if it affects the game, which it did, they called the penalty on it.
Well, you can't do that. There are certain rules about celebration after a touchdown that everyone knows. And this guy said, I'm going to flagrantly go outside that, and I'm going to make my mark on Super Bowl history by pretending to poop out a football.
How about crotch grabs? Do you think they should show those or no?
I don't think they should show crotch grabs either. I don't think these players should be. Why are we having these conversations? Just get the touchdown and then spike the ball and go about your business. Act like you've been there before.
I agree, by the way, 100% with you.
Come on. Stay classy, Seattle. There were also movies in theaters this weekend. I know, believe it or not, life went on outside the Super Bowl. Movie theaters were operational over the weekend. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. American Sniper for the third week in a row came in at number one with $31.9 million at the box office. Then my boy Paddington. Paddington Bear, yo!
How did that become your boy?
Paddington in the house, yo! Because I saw this movie and loved it. $12.4 million made him number two at the box office. Then Project Almanac, in its debut, went $8.5 million, made it number three at the box office this weekend.
Project Almanac.
Yes, that's the time travel movie, the teenage time travel movie. I bet they wish they could go back in time and spend some more money at the box office and move up in the top five a little bit. Black or White, new Kevin Costner film, fourth at the box office with $6.5 million. Then The Boy Next Door was fifth. The Wedding Ringer, Taken 3, The Imitation Game, Strange Magic, and The Loft in its debut made $2.9 million, made it number 10 at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dwayne Dog the Bounty Hunter Chapman, 62 years old today. I told you my Bounty Hunter story, right? My Dog the Bounty Hunter story?
I don't think so.
We were at the same wedding together. We were at a mutual friend's wedding, and Dog was there in his tuxedo that was sleeveless. And he had his cuffs on his belt. Underneath his tux jacket, just in case he had any perps he had to take.
All you people here at the wedding, I'm putting you on notice
right now. Anyone, you can get the cuffs slapped on you at any time. He's a classy act.
He's good.
Shakira is 38 years old today. Zasha Mamet, Shoshana from Girls, is 27 years old today. And Bond girl Gemma Arterton. She is 29 years old today. Boy, I love her. She is beautiful. She is talented. I remember Kevin had a conversation with her as if it was yesterday.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's how Kevin impresses the ladies.
It's always more fun when they're in studio, too, and they're looking at you like, wow,
yeah.
You are an idiot.
Hall of Fame! Ralph Garman, Walker Showbiz Beat.
Congratulations to Jennifer Musgrave. Sorry, Jennifer Musgrave. From Arcadia. She is the grand prize winner for K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number three, which is U2 in Barcelona, Spain.
Now, have we called her and told her, or is this how she's finding out? Is just hearing you murder her name on the air?
I don't know.
Okay. Say it again.
Jennifer Musgrave. from Arcadia.
Congratulations.
Grand prize winner.
Way to go. KROX World Tour 2015 Destination Number 4 is now on the air. It is Hosier at Slane Castle in Ireland. All week long here on KROX, we give you a chance to win your way into the official KROX pre-Grammy party, which is going to be this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live, and you get on the standby boarding list to see the man in Ireland. So I heard the Super Bowl was yesterday. Is that true?
You've gone into denial.
Yeah, he's hiding now.
He's blocking it.
What I want to do is take my DVR and take it back to where there's 22 seconds left on the clock, and the Seahawks are obviously going to win the Super Bowl because there's no way they can't. They've got three chances, and Marshawn Lynch is right there who just can't be stopped at 1 yard, right? That's what I want to do.
You know what's funny about that is maybe the most amazing catch, I mean, it's got to be in the top five, in the history of the NFL happened just before that.
Yeah.
Yes. That got them in the great field position for Marshawn Lynch then to take it down to the 1 yard line.
And nobody's talking about that because then they made the call. But this was the catch on the game yesterday.
Russell in the pocket. Russell for Carson. It's broken up again. And is it? But somehow, did he wind up with a football?
I think Butler hit it, and it fell right back down to the ground. Unbelievable. Oh, my. I can't believe he didn't get up and get in the end zone in time.
So that happened.
As Kevin said, one of the greatest catches in history. And Malcolm Butler, the guy who kind of was supposed to be covering Jermaine Kearse, who didn't get that ball and kind of, you know, was the goat of that play a little bit, he's the guy that is about to be the Super Bowl hero when this play happens next.
Second and goal. Baldwin sets up on the left. Second and goal. Baldwin sets up on the left. Play clock at five. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
They tried a pick play, Al. They tried to go here, but he beats him to the punch. And I'm sorry, but I can't believe the call.
Me neither.
I cannot believe the call. You've got Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. You've got a guy that's been borderline unstoppable in this part of the field. I can't believe the call. If I lose the Super Bowl because Marshawn Lynch can't get it in from the 1 yard line, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So be it.
You can hear the amazement in Chris Collinsworth's voice there. Like, how was that call made? How do you not give it? And that's what every single person who was watching the game and every single person in the stadium and every single person on both teams was thinking at the same time. Only Pete Carroll thought, hey, you know what? Let's do. Let's throw the slant instead.
Now, I didn't hear his comment afterwards, but did he? Why?
Well, his answer, and I have that. I have and it's always, man, it's always heartbreaking because you see the celebration on the field every time there's a. By the way, we'd like to, before we hear from Pete Carroll, we'd like to hear from you, the football fan, if you can explain or justify or soften the impact of that horrible decision. We would like it explained to us because we don't get it at 1-800-520-1067. If you can help walk us through why this decision was made. I think what the coach is going to say here in this tape is that he saw the way New England was lining up. He saw their, you know, their goal line defense, and he said he didn't like the matchups there. So he thought, hey, let's try to throw it once. They won't see that coming. And then we'll try the next two on the third and fourth downs. That's when we'll give it to Marshawn. I mean, his plan was to eat up a little bit more of the clock. And that's what's confusing to me, because when you're down under a half a minute, how much clock do you need to burn?
But you burn less with an incompletion than you would a run, right?
I would think so, too.
Let me ask another question.
Yeah.
Didn't the Patriots blow the last minute by not calling a timeout?
They let that whole minute go.
Yeah. A lot of people were suggesting
that. That's terrible coaching.
Yeah, that was a surprise, too. All right, here's how Pete explained, and then we want to hear from you what your explanation is at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, and I was starting to say, so every time the Super Bowl ends, you see the confetti and the fireworks and the cannons and everybody rushing it out of the field, and it's just euphoric and it's loud and it's great and it's crazy and everybody loves it. And then they cut to the interview with the losing coach who's always standing in a hallway by the locker room, and it's always like, hey, coach, I'm sorry to have to ask you this. it's always the saddest interview in the world, but here's Pete.
Can you explain the thinking behind the final play call?
Yeah, the
It was a fantastic football game and a true championship game, comes right down to those last punches that you take. Really what happened down there, just really frankly, it's really clear that we went to three receivers. They sent in their goal line people, and we had plenty of downs, and we had a timeout, and really just didn't want to run against our goal line group right there. We were going to, we would have subbed and done our stuff for the third and fourth down. No, really clear thought, we used our timeout, and we would have taken those shots. That's it, and we call a play, and it's a miraculous play that the kid makes to get in front of that route. It's a play that really tries to keep him from making that play. But so it really, I told those guys, that's my fault totally. You know, I we could, because everybody just, why don't you just run it? You know, just that's a real good thought. But we had plenty of time to win the game, and we would have, in our minds, we thought we'd done it on third and fourth down, and that's how we were playing for third and fourth down. Given no time left, and it would have been just right. But
what do you think?
It's confusing.
I'll tell you. Here's the thing. If you want to catch him off guard, maybe you fake it to Marshawn, and now you've got a quarterback that is a great runner.
Right, and he's done that a million times. Where
that
he's
can
run
score
at.
From
he's,
a yard out.
Easily the number one rushing quarterback in the league.
Right, let's say that you have to throw it. You throw that post out to the corner, which is almost impossible to intercept.
But there was nobody out there. Because they were on the one-yard line, he had no players far enough away from him to give him any kind of room. I mean, anything he was going to throw had to be so close.
But in the middle of the – there were 22 players in a four-yard stretch that he threw the ball right into.
All right, let's talk to a couple of listeners because we already have some interesting calls and conspiracy theorists on the line. And let's start with Adrian. He's in Van Nuys, and he is on line five. Adrian, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, man?
If Marshawn Lynch would have scored that touchdown, he would have been the MVP. They didn't want him talking to the media.
Or not talking to the media. Wait, so you think that Pete Carroll was willing to not win the Super Bowl just to keep Marshawn Lynch from being the MVP?
Or the higher-ups, you know, they didn't want him out there. They didn't want
okay.
that to get in the face of Seattle.
But why? Even if he chose not to speak to the media and got fined $100,000, it's still worth it to win your second Super Bowl in a row.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but still, media is big during the Super Bowl.
All right, that theory is as ridiculous as Pete Carroll's call was, but thank you, Adrian, for the call. By the way, I didn't see it on tape. I only read it in print, but they did ask Marshawn Lynch, were you surprised that Russell did not hand you the ball? And he said, no. They said, why not? He said, because it's a team sport. That was his answer.
All right.
Let's go to George in Riverside, line six. Let's see if he can get inside Pete Carroll's head for us. Hey, George.
Oh, man. I'm coming from a Packers fan, so I've seen how Pete Carroll plays, and he's always pulling the play that nobody's expecting. So, you know, seeing Patriots pull that, you know, their goal line defense, just they're expecting Marshawn Lynch. So he knows Bill Belichick's playing man-to-man coverage, so he's going to take that chance on the one-to-one.
Right, but don't you as a coach or anybody in that organization, don't you go, the one thing we can't do is turn it over?
Yes, that's what I would think. Why risk it? Even if Marshawn doesn't get in the first or the second time, why risk a turnover?
Yeah, and this is the same coach from the NFC Championship punting or fake punting,
yeah,
taking that risk, going, what was
so you think he overthought it? You think he thought, oh, that's too obvious. It might work, but it's too obvious. Let's try something fancier.
Oh, yeah. That was the Pete Carroll mentality, that call. Yeah.
Here's my thing, though, and maybe I'm alone on this. If they score, that's a bad call, even if it works, because you're risking losing the entire Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, and his old tapes from USC, too, because I'm an old-time USC fan, and it's just that. It's very practical for Pete Carroll to pull something like that.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, he does like those trick plays, and he's generally – I mean, they work a lot of the time, but there's a time and a place to try
yeah.
it. I mean, that's it seems like that was a high-risk trick play.
For not much payoff because
not much payoff,
they were
right.
going – I mean, everybody knew they were going to score, as did the Patriots. They were all bummed.
Look, we saw earlier in the game, we saw the Seahawks go 80 yards in 29 seconds to score a touchdown. It's possible. It does happen. And I understand you don't want to give a great team like the Patriots too much time on the clock. But, I mean, at that point, you were down to about 20 seconds if that touchdown goes in.
So yeah. I don't know. All right, we got more calls, believe it or not, on the phone with different theories of what was happening. We want to take them from you as well. 1-800-520-1067. It's your opportunity this morning on the Kevin Bean Show to outcoach Pete Carroll. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Actress and model Charlotte McKinney, you saw her on the Carl's Jr. Super Bowl ad, is going to be joining us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're doing a little Super Bowl Monday morning quarterbacking, trying to explain the call that lost the Seahawks a game that was certainly within their grasp to win. Daniel writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, Pete, just talking about Coach Pete Carroll, just wanted to give the MVP to Russell Wilson, so he wanted him to be responsible for the winning touchdown. Well, that's absurd. They're not thinking about stuff like that during the game. There's no way, right?
Harold tweeted, Pete has a huge ego and wanted to hear and read gutsiest call in Super Bowl history.
All right. Let's see what the callers are saying at 1-800-520-1067. Let's get in as many as we can. Let's start with Josh. He's in Chino, and he's on line one. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Thanks for holding on, man. What do you think?
So I think there's a lot of different aspects to this thing. I think Pete Carroll is pretty cocky. I mean, he brought in that kid from the practice squad and threw how many bombs to him? He got his first career reception.
Yeah, Chris Matthews, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who does that?
And, he, by the way, for folks who don't know or care about football, less than a year ago, he was working at Foot Locker. That's what this guy's life is like.
Yeah, I think also, too, I think he wanted to prove to Belichick that they weren't just a one-trick pony. You know, everybody knows that Seattle's a run-first team. And I think Pete Carroll just wanted to stick it to him, like, hey, we can pass the ball, and we just won the game.
So it was basically just cockiness.
It was his ego.
It was just ego. I'm going to show everybody that I can make a gutsy call, that I can jam it down their throats. Wow, that's terrible.
But isn't it better to isn't it better to win the Super Bowl than to say, hey, see, I told you. I mean, maybe you're right. I don't know. All right, let's go to, we got some good ones. Let's go to Gilbert. He's in Irvine. He's on line four, please.
All right. Hi, Gilbert.
All right, so I agree with a lot of what everyone's saying, but what I think we need to focus on a little bit is Wilson. He didn't have to throw that ball. I think, Kevin, you said it earlier, was, you know, don't throw. Run, do something different, eat it. In baseball, you say eat the ball.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw it at first when the guy's almost there. You're just going to mess up the play, give him extra base, the same thing.
So you think that was a quarterback mistake?
I do. At the end of the day, yeah. The ball snapped to him. Now it's his responsibility. Pete Carroll got there because of the plays that he calls, and that's his style of coaching. But Wilson could have taken the ball, ran with it, done something different. It was a play called for the element of surprise. Surprise wasn't there. So at that point, you have to take it upon yourself to do something different. You got more downs, you got timeout, you got options, and Wilson forced it, jammed it in there. That's not how the play is designed. The play is designed to be an element of surprise, and surprise wasn't there. Then you take the loss or no gain or whatever, and you get to execute one more play.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I wish you were coaching the Seattle Seahawks. All right, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll meet Charlotte McKinney from the Super Bowl ad with the Carl's Jr. coming up. Andrew Siciliano will have more for us on this topic on the NFL Network. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And actress Leslie Bibbs will come, too. It's all on the way from K-Rock. So Super Bowl 49 is in the history books now, sadly for us Seahawks fans. But my takeaway from the game besides that is the nationwide dead kid, the 100-year-old people who are going to die before they get to drive a Ford, the kid with no legs, the saddest batch of Super Bowl commercials in the world. Until the shining star that is Charlotte McKinney came on my screen for Carl's Jr. And Charlotte joins us in studio now on the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, my dear?
Good. Thanks for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. We, you know, like everybody, we got caught wind of the commercial 10 days ago or something like that when it came out online. Was that always the plan, was to release it online first before it aired during the big game?
To be honest, I don't think so. I was talking to everyone at Carl's yesterday, and I think that's the first time they had done that. But it was good. It gave me time to get the buzz and get more of a fan base to see the thing. And I got more press during all I had press all last week for it. So I think it was great. It gave a chance to really look forward to that spot.
Are you in a fog of a schedule right now? Just crazy going.
At some point,
you're going to collapse.
I really may. But I've really made it. I mean, normally Super Bowl and all this stuff, I'd be partying. But I really have just sleep right now is my first option.
Yeah.
Whenever I can find a bed. And so just sleep is key right now.
Yeah.
So you're 21 years old. How long have you been modeling professionally, Charlotte?
Well, I've been modeling since I was 16, but professionally probably like 3 years now. But yeah.
And you didn't know, do I have this right? You didn't know when you shot this Carl's Jr. ad that it was going to be a Super Bowl commercial.
They said it, but I just didn't really think so. You know, it was just, it was kind of in the back of my mind. But when I'm shooting stuff like that, I try not to think where it's going to be.
Yeah. Well. Tell us the story, because I think this is super interesting. Tell us the story of how you got cast in the commercial, because you did not audition for it.
No, I didn't audition for it. I guess they just kind of saw my social media. They saw some interviews of me speaking on Fox and stuff. And then they contacted my agent in New York. And it was back and forth for a while, but then they ended up picking me.
Tell me about the pitch or the explanation of what the commercial was going to be.
I didn't know until like the day before, and I got my little sides and everything. And it was when I saw the pictures of me like walking through like a farmer's market, I thought it was amazing. And I was really excited to do it for an all natural burger because I wanted to share I'm all natural and I love eating all natural. So that was a great spot for me.
Are you just because you've been modeling for a while now, are you just comfortable being that naked on a set?
I really am. Everyone's like, oh my God. Yeah. Give me a round of applause. Right? I really am. It's funny. Everyone's like, oh my God, that's so awkward. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a breeze. It's another day in the office, I keep saying.
How long does it take to shoot a commercial that ends up airing for what, for a minute?
Yeah. Well, we did one day of just kind of like social media stuff, and then we had a full day of shooting. So it'd be sun up, sunset.
Did you feel like the director was just shouting, all right, let's go again, just to prolong what was happening?
Not at all.
You didn't feel that way?
No, they were so professional, and the crew was great. They made me feel comfortable, and it was super important for me that day. So.
Now, you talked about how you kind of got discovered a little bit because of your social media presence. Tell me about that a little bit. Did you have an agent or something? Were you putting a bunch of stuff up online because you were trying to get work or what?
Well, for a while, I started out modeling in Miami, and no one was signing me because of my height, my boob
size.
How
tall are you?
I'm 5'7". I'm a shorty.
Oh, that's short. Okay.
Yeah. That's
and
short.
I'm sorry. What's wrong with your boobs?
They're too big.
Oh, that's a shame.
That is incorrect. Man. First of all, that's incorrect.
What a burden. Yeah. I'm so sorry for you.
So for a while, I would go into every top agency and shut down. So I was like, screw off. I knew I had something, and I saw these girls that were getting work, and I didn't think if they could do it, I could too. So I kind of made social media my outlet so everyone could kind of look at it as my book, and it was just all my work. And then from there, I finally found a good agent in New York, and it was kind of history from there. And then guests saw me on Instagram, so I pretty much got guests myself.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's so upside down from the way the industry has worked for so long.
Yeah, I mean, for years, it's just been books and agents and I think it's
gatekeepers.
Really, yeah, I think it's really evolving in a good way. I mean, some people don't even have the chance to be in Miami or fly to these places. So it's good to kind of have your own outlet to get your message out.
Did you ever think, I'm getting the message that my boobs are too big from so many people? If I want to move on, I'm going to have to do something about that and make them smaller.
You know what? It was a thought. Like, my sister was always like, maybe he should get a reduction.
First of all, your sister should die, but go ahead.
Well, I think that's overstating the case. Your sister's ill-advised with that particular remark, but she's a nice lady.
That's what I meant.
You know what? From every guy, and you know, my main audience kind of guys.
Sure.
Guys, I mean, for me, it was either this tall model girl who's flat-chested who kind of looks like a guy, or, you know, me with curves, and guys like that. And,
yes, guys like it very much.
We do. They do.
Only one applauding?
Yeah,
no, I got your back here, Kevin.
Come on now.
We're talking to Charlotte McKinney, by the way, who started the Carl's Jr. All Natural Burger ad. By the way, let's play a little bit of that to remind everybody what it is.
Play it. I love going all natural. It just makes me feel better. Nothing between me and my 100% all natural, juicy, grass-fed beef.
You talked about girls versus boys in your audience, and I thought it was interesting in your Esquire article where you said that you dropped out of school partly because of bullying and girls being mean. What level of school were you at? This was
when
in college?
I dropped out? No.
High school?
I wish we made it then. 17.
Did you drop out of high school?
I did. I didn't go to my senior year of high school. I knew what I had to do to be successful.
Come on!
We're now applauding dropping out of high school, Kevin?
It's not something to look, idolize or whatever you call it.
It
but
worked.
It worked for me.
See, kids,
don't go to school.
School is for losers.
School sucks. No.
But what, I mean, seriously, what, and I've heard stories of if you're too pretty, you're gonna get some backlash. I mean, what did the girls do to you that was mean?
Well, people think it's the nerdy kids who get picked on and stuff, but a lot of the time it's these girls who really don't know they're really pretty, and these girls just, I mean, it's awful these days, and I think bullying has just really escalated, especially with the social media, and I think it's horrible.
I hope you kept every one of their names so that you could send them a copy of your Carl's Jr. ad. How you
guys,
like me now, bitch?
Just want you to have this copy. Here's a shirt signed by me. Have a good week in your trailer. They're probably all pregnant now, but, you know, whatever.
What was your reaction from your parents when you came to them with that decision? Hey, I'm dropping out of high school to be a model.
They go, no. They wanted me to get my GED. I tried for that for a while, but then I was working and traveling and stuff like that. So I was kind of busy. And but they knew they know me, and they besides most parents who would normally say that was wrong, they knew I was on the right path. And
they knew you had drive and
they
ambition.
Knew I had such,
it's not like
such
you were dropping out to play video games and smoke pot. I mean,
yeah,
you dropped out because you had a path.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're, you know, I really knew what I wanted, and school wasn't an option for me, and they really had faith, thank God.
Yeah, no kidding. Great support. What's next for you, Charlotte McKinney?
Not a lot. Just kind of seeing what happens from here. A lot of stuff in the air kind of buzzing around, and then I have my Joe Dirt 2 movie coming out in the summer. So.
And there's no way you can stop that movie from coming out?
She's in it.
I'm in it.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be great.
She's in the
speaking well, for the rest summer. Of us.
It's going to be an amazing movie.
I'm sure it is. Isn't that one of those movies that people have like fallen in love with in reruns on cable over the years? Like it wasn't a big box. The first one wasn't a big box office at the time, but it's kind of become a cult hit ever since.
Yeah. And it's going to be on Crackle with Sony, so it won't be in theaters. And I guess it'll just kind of keep playing all day on TV. You will get over it kind of like the first one.
All right. And David Spade hit on you nonstop, right?
Oh, God.
Constantly. Truth. Come on, tell us the truth.
I love David. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't have gotten the spot. He's a great guy, good friend. I love Fred Wolf. I got to work with and great team. I love Happy Madison, and David was a riot. Yeah.
Okay. All right. If you say
I'll leave
so.
It as that.
All right, Charlotte McKinney. How can people follow you online? Because now they're going to want to.
You're going to follow me at Charlotte McKinney on Instagram, and then I don't even know my Twitter. I think it's Charmick or something. Charlotte McKinney. Just type in Charlotte McKinney. It'll come kind of come together.
So glad we got a chance to meet you. Congratulations
Thank
on the commercial.
You.
Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, you guys.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
We want you to go to Ireland to Slane Castle. Is that where you saw U2 a few years ago? Amazing?
Yeah, amazing.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah, it's just, it's literally a castle, and there's a river and mountainside. I mean, it's
ridiculous. This place... Slane Castle, it's called?
Beautiful.
It's literally a castle?
It's literally a castle.
Well, how is that even possible, Kevin? How can Slane Castle be a castle?
And then the venue is outside.
You should be a tour guide.
Thank you. I bring it to life. I know.
You do.
I know. Thank you, Ralph.
Well, it's an amazing place to see a show, and Hozier is going to be there, and we would like you to be as well. K-Rock World Tour 2015, destination number four, your chance to qualify coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Singer Hozier is literally a singer.
He sings. It's literally a castle.
Slane Castle is literally a castle. Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
That's my point.
All right, some people, I'm sure, out there feel bad that the Seahawks lost. Sure, there's some of you. But trust me, you don't feel as bad as this guy. As the guy who got the back-to-back champs tattoo on his arm with the Seahawks logo.
Boy, that's a trend that has taken off in recent years, is to get your team tattooed on before the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's a guy walking around with a Cowboys World Championship tattoo right now, too.
He was on the news right now. The video is all over the internet. You can see him and his friends at the Super Bowl party and the After Effect where they've got a piece of sandpaper and they're trying to sandpaper the tattoo off.
Oh, ouch.
Comically, not for real.
Oh, okay, good.
But at least he's taking the loss with a sense of humor. He'll never forget that tattoo.
No, he won't.
What was it like for him having that tattoo when the Seahawks were literally 1 second away from winning that Super Bowl? He thought, I am the man.
Tattoo looks pretty good now, doesn't it?
Yep.
This tattoo's going to be very impressive at work tomorrow. Celebrities, of course, populated the Super Bowl last night. A ton of them are there. They showed a bunch of them on television. John Travolta was there and Will Ferrell was there. Of course, Mark Wahlberg was there. And also, a couple superheroes showed up. Chris Pratt, Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy, and Captain America himself, Chris Evans, were both there. Chris Pratt is from the Seattle area. Bostonian Chris Evans was there to represent his team. And they made a bet beforehand that, depending on whose team won, the other guy would show up in full costume at a children's hospital of their choice in Boston or Seattle. And after the Super Bowl was over, they went on Twitter to announce that they both would be visiting both children's health facilities, both in costume in Seattle and Boston. So both cities win, which is kind of cool. They
That's
seem like
awesome.
Good guys. Yeah.
So you're a sick kid, and you go in, and an Avenger shows up, and Star-Lord shows up.
Yeah, one of the Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain America walk through the door. Pretty
I like
strong.
It.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. American Sniper, once again, number one. For a third week in a row, $31.9 million is what it made this weekend. Then Paddington came in at number two with $12.4 million. Project Almanac, the time travel film, came in at number three with $8.5 million. Black or White, the new Kevin Costner film, in its debut, made $6.5 million. That was number four. The Boy Next Door was five with Jennifer Lopez. Then The Wedding Ringer, Taken three, The Imitation Game, Strange Magic, and The Loft, in its debut, made $2.9 million. Now I am hesitant to discuss the success or lack thereof of any movie that I do in the top 10 on Mondays after hearing Rainn Wilson talk about how I broke his heart talking about The Rocker when that came out.
Yeah.
Because Eric Stonestreet came in here on Friday to promote The Loft, and he's our buddy, and there it is at number 10 on the list of movies. Only made $2.9 million, and I don't even want to draw attention to that.
I went to see it. It was good. I liked it.
It looks good, and by the way, maybe the problem is not enough Stonestreet in the trailer. You guys ever think about that?
Good pernt there. Super Bowl commercials. It's what people like Lisa May were watching last night.
I did.
I thought you went
fast
to get
forward
pizza
through the game,
last
Lisa.
Night.
During the halftime.
Oh,
I actually
by
did
the way,
watch the game.
I thought Katy Perry did a great job of that halftime show. I thought it was outstanding. Value was great.
Production value was incredible.
Great.
Considering how many moving parts there were in that thing for it to go off flawlessly,
set
like
changes,
that was pretty
costume
impressive.
Changes, guest stars. I thought it was very, very entertaining. More than I've seen in a lot of years. Very entertaining. That Tiger alone that she walked in on was pretty.
That was incredible.
Worth the price of admission right there.
That was incredible.
Commercials USA Today ranks the Super Bowl ads this year. They asked people to pick their favorites. Here's how it shook down from the USA Today. Number 10, when pigs fly, kid straps a rocket to a pig to get some Doritos.
I was very much against that. I don't like to see.
Don't strap a rocket to a pig.
You know, they didn't really do that, right?
You know, it's computer generated graphics, right?
I don't like it when they show doing dangerous things with animals, though.
Move on.
Made me very nervous, that spot.
How did it make you nervous?
Because they already killed a kid earlier in the Super Bowl. Who knows what they're going to do to a poor little pig? All right, that was number 10. They ranked that as one of the 10 best?
Yes.
Okay.
The Nissan with Dad, the car racer struggling to balance his career and his family. Tearjerker.
That was the one, where they used the music of Harry Chapin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cats in the Cradle, man who died in a car accident. They used him for that ad. Of the dad being a race car driver, almost dying in a car accident.
I don't think the three Harry Chapin fans were upset by the context of that commercial.
Just say
Coca-Cola makes it happy. Soda goes into the internet and makes everyone happy. That's what that happens when Coca-Cola gets into your server.
I've experienced the opposite of that, Ralph.
Yes, you have.
This equipment has been doused in soda.
The Toyota commercial with the dad driving his daughter to the airport as she joins up into the service. A lot of very poignant dad commercials this year. Dodge Wisdom, as a bunch of 100-year-olds talking about how to live your life, celebrating the 100th anniversary of Dodge cars.
I bet some of the people in that ad are already dead.
Doritos, the middle seat, the guy trying to pick his airline passenger companion, and the beautiful girl comes in, and then she's got a baby Bjorn on.
And he's like, bwah, bwah, bwah. He's all like, I'm like, no. And she's like, yeah. And the kid's all like, ran. He's all like, Microsoft Braylon. Braylon O'Neal, a double amputee. A little kid with the help of that company learns how to walk, run, play baseball, and do a lot more. Very touching. Fiat. The little blue pill, the boner pill goes inside the Fiat and makes it a big Fiat because he gets a boner. Car got a boner.
And then the car, the gas pump just expands and becomes like an SUV, right?
Wow, take it easy, man.
No, downer.
It gets bigger.
It just got a little bigger. The Fiat's bigger, a little bigger than it was.
From it was.
Not an SUV at all.
I'm just saying bigger.
No, you said SUV.
Yeah.
I got very nervous when that happened because I hate when bad things happen to little cars. To cars? Little Italian cars. Made me very nervous.
Now, I haven't heard my favorite ad yet, and I'm hoping it's going to be number one, Ralph.
Number two, always like a girl, changing the term like a girl to mean something more positive than negative.
Right.
As the father of a
little
girl.
Fight like a girl, run like a girl.
I thought that was pretty cool. Hashtag like a girl, make it something special. Always the people who bring you tampons and things. They should know things about girls, don't they?
Yeah.
And then number one was the Budweiser.
You stole prescription pills from your mom. You threw back a few, and then they were gone.
Was it this?
So your Jones are real bad.
It was the Budweiser puppy dog and the Clydesdales getting together with the wolf trying to stop them.
That was cute.
It was cute.
My favorite ad did not make it, and that was the Snickers ad with Steve Buscemi was the one that I liked so much.
With Machete.
Machete.
And Machete, yeah.
I thought that was terrific.
That was good.
That was terrific. Today's celebrity birthday is Dwayne Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's 62 years old today. Shakira is 38. Gemma Arterton celebrates her 29th birthday. And Zosha Mamet, Soshana from Girls on HBO. She is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us this hour to recap Super Bowl 49. Justin Bieber is trying to rehab his image, you guys. I don't think I like it.
Well, I don't buy it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's BS.
He, as you know, for the last 2 or 3 years has been in and out of trouble with the law, and he's done a bunch of a-hole things. You know, he egged his neighbor's house, and then he, what did he buy? Was it a dog or a pig or something? And then just left it behind in Germany.
A monkey.
It was a monkey, yeah. And then he's just done all sorts of things, and he's just getting all the tattoos and dressing like an idiot and getting busted at clubs and the whole deal. But he's turning around. He's turning that all around. He's saying that's not where he's at anymore. He taped an episode of Ellen last week, and then that same night that he taped that, he recorded this very confessional video from his house where he talked about how it's a brand new Justin Bieber 2.0.
I'm not who I was pretending to be. And why I say pretending is often we pretend to be something we're not as a cover-up of what we're truly feeling inside. And there was a lot of feelings going on in there. Just being young and growing up in this business is hard. It's growing up in general is hard. But yeah, I felt awkward up there. I felt like people were judging me. And I really want people to know how much I care, how much I care about people, and how I'm not that person to say I don't give a f-, you know, I'm not that kid. I'm the person who genuinely cares, and although what's happened in the past has happened, I just want to make the best impression on people and be kind and loving and gentle and soft. And although people can call me a softie, that's how my mom raised me.
He cares too much.
That may be what it is, yeah. He's got too much love in his heart. That's the problem. So sensitive Justin Bieber is where we're at in 2015, apparently. We wanted to get to the bottom of this and find out what real changes are being made. So we have our friend the Biebs on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Justin. Welcome back.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Hey.
Wow. We're
low-key.
Okay.
Yeah.
You all right?
I'm fine. Hey, how you doing?
Well, where's all the swag?
It's not like that, man. That was who I was pretending to be. That's not who I really am. I was pretending to be that guy, eh? Because I'm just... There's a lot of feelings going on in here, eh?
Right.
A lot of feelings.
So were you
just
pretending...
There's too many feelings inside here.
So when you threw the eggs, though, that was...
It's because I love that guy so much. I love people so much. I wanted him to have some eggs. Because I have so many eggs.
I see.
And he didn't have any eggs. So I wanted to make sure he had some eggs, eh?
Wow.
Oh, that's all it was. Okay.
I like to give of myself because... You know, some people call me a softie, but I just...
Yeah. poor Justin.
For the record, I've never heard anyone call you a softie.
Well, they do, because I have so many feelings inside.
I see.
And I'm so sensitive and I love so much and so many people.
Right.
Okay.
What about...
Oh, wait. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
kind of music I like to listen to now.
Oh,
I thought you were all about the hip-hop.
No, this is the real me. It's classical. Yo.
Justin, what about all the a-hole things you've done, like driving up and down the neighborhood in Calabasas at 100 miles an hour through residential neighborhoods and just out there just doing stupid stuff like that?
No, that was I was pretending to be that guy because I thought people were judging me.
Okay.
So I had to protect myself by engaging in behavior that's not me, yo. So now I'm a different man. And all those things I did because I love too much. I love everybody.
Okay. Justin, it's all right.
And so now everybody knows the real me. And that's Justin Bieber, the boy who loves too much in a bubble.
Do you think your fans are going to follow you on this new journey? Or do you
I hope so, because I love them so much.
You love
and
them.
I love Dimension Eggs. I love eggs.
Yeah.
Right.
And I love peeing in a bucket.
Yeah, right. You love
you
that.
Do some of that, right?
Love
yeah.
That. I love spitting off of balconies.
Uh-huh. That's the old you, though, right?
But that was the old me. And
right.
Now I just love people, and I'm going to be giving and loving and caring. So that's the way my mama raised me. My teenage mama raised me to be a softie. Because
okay.
My dad was not around much because he's a big douchebag.
Yes, he is. So my guess is that you'll be arrested again within 1 month of this conversation.
See, you're judging me, eh? And that's why I had to pretend to be somebody else, eh? And it's that kind of behavior that causes bad Justin to come out.
Whoa.
If you don't want bad Justin to come out, you better take that back.
Oh, what's happening here?
I'm sorry, man. I got so many feels.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You do.
That's a lot of cocaine coming out of my nose.
If you're having a yard sale this morning, we'd like you to give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Tell us what kind of items you're trying to get rid of. That's what we're doing here.
We're not doing that.
Am I mistaken?
Yeah. You see, you say that, and oh, isn't that funny? Because it's funny because no one would think to do that.
No one would think to do that.
A broadcast radio show. That was literally being heard by people over the radio. Maybe a college station. Maybe.
Stupid students, right? Like
maybe if they had nothing else to talk about, maybe they would say, call in and let us know what you're selling at your yard sale. That would be two lummoxes who just had nothing of any value to say at all, that they would have to resort maybe to that.
Well,
that's
I'm glad why no that one's ever done
funny.
That, Ralph.
That's why that joke is funny. But it's not funny when you play audio of Kevin and Bean actually doing a morning show in Tucson, Arizona.
Hit it, Steve.
It's kind of a Saturday thing to do is to go to yard sales.
Yard sales, right?
We're going to find out if you have one, call us at 880-5000.
A little free publicity. We want to make fun of the stuff you're trying to give away and sell here this morning. Number again, 880-5000. From 93.7, KRQ, Tucson's only hit music station and the station that gives you your fill. In this case, Phil Collins and Phil Bailey on KRQ.
All right,
what's
first
your point,
of all,
Ralph? What's your point?
Don't even get me started on the station that gives you your Phil, Phil Collins and Philip Bailey.
Here's the thing about Bean that we all know is that after he did that, and probably for a couple of weeks, he was really proud of that.
Yeah.
Like, I nailed that.
Yeah. He pumped his fist like Wayne Gretzky after scoring an overtime goal.
But let me just say this.
Backwards.
Let me just say this, and maybe this is a bigger question for another day, but there are people who think puns are funny, and there are people who hate puns. But I believe that puns are a legitimate form of comedy. Do you not? Do you have no room for any puns?
I don't know. I think I'm mostly anti-pun, but unless it's spectacular. But that really
there's room for pun inside of a comedy bit or conversation, but to use it as an intro for a song is the height of radio cheese. I think that's where it becomes so distasteful, because it's like something that Murray the K would do in 1957.
So you're saying we should have outgrown that before we ever got on the radio. Like that should have been in way in the past, right?
Yeah.
Bean still does puns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I know.
He loves it.
It's a lost cause. That's why I'm saying it's no point really even getting into the latter half of that clip. But let's talk about for a minute why you thought this would be great radio if we had people calling in who had yard sales and they could tell us what they were selling in their yard sales.
I'm having trouble putting myself back in the mindset of
making that decision.
All right, try now. Just imagine, if you could, try to come up with a reason why you thought, hey, Kevin, we're here, we're doing a morning radio show. This would be a very entertaining for the few people who are listening to this program. Let's drive them away by having people call in and talk about their yard sales.
All right, I have a guess. Is it possible that that was a Saturday?
No, it was Saturday. We said that on the tape.
Yeah, okay. It is. Yeah. Nothing to talk about on a Saturday other than yard sales.
But that's
point.
Like, that's the big yard sale day.
that's true. When people think Saturdays, they think yard sales.
Look, I'm trying. I have nothing.
You have reduced your radio program to a flyer that is stapled to a phone pole. You are the same thing as that at this point.
No, because we're worse than that, because we're on a radio station talking about that. We're not even that.
But you're going to give some free publicity to the people with the yard sales.
Hey, I'm with you. This is insanely stupid.
But we do say in the tape that give us a call and we want to make fun of this stuff. So maybe – I'm just guessing now. I'm not defending this part of the break. But maybe our plan was people will call with funny items that we can talk about. Like, how did you end up with 150, you know, candles or whatever it was they're selling, you know?
Okay. Best case scenario. Somebody says, I have 150 candles I'm selling. Go. Here we go.
What?
Ralph, don't you ever look back on tapes of you acting in high school and go, wow, I was terrible, but I had to go through that phase to get where I am today. You've learned.
But I was on a high school stage. I was on a high school stage.
Yeah.
I don't look back on anything professional I've done and say, I suck. I don't belong there. However, I think if you have any decency at all, you'll listen to that tape and say, we suck. We don't belong there.
I do that every day.
I'm not proud of maybe that particular audio moment from our past, but I think it's all part of the journey, man.
Yeah, man.
Come on, man. Come on, bro.
Keep saying man more. Maybe you'll believe it.
Here's the headline on SportsIllustrated.com this morning. The Super Bowl that took everyone's breath away. Here's the call from Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels last night.
Second and goal. Baldwin sets up on the left. Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal. Malcolm Butler, who almost made the phenomenal play that wound up in Kersh's arms. There are flags on the field for a celebration. Amazing.
Unreal is one way to describe it. Effing heartbreak is another. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network has had a busy week down there in Glendale, Arizona, but he is back home. Andrew, how you feeling, man?
I'm a little out of the weather, but I mean, I think the better question is, how does a Seahawks fan feel?
Yeah. Dude, it was, I mean, we're all in shock. I mean, football fans everywhere, no matter who you were rooting for, you just never see something like that happen. Can you try to explain why it went down the way it did, Andrew? Is there any rational reason? We heard what Coach Carroll had to say. Help us with this one.
No, yeah, Pete Carroll's rationale is this, and everyone's asking, why don't they run Marshawn Lynch on 2nd and 1? I think you have to take it back a couple of plays earlier. So when Jermaine Kearse makes that ridiculous play,
right,
which was the David Tyree moment of this game.
And let me explain that for folks who don't get the reference that Andrew's making, is Jermaine Kearse caught a ball but bobbled it, fell to the ground, and then hit it 3 or 4 more times before he ended up finally catching it, but it never hit the ground, so it was a catch, and that put them close enough that on the first down, Marshawn Lynch could take him to the 1 yard line.
Right, and David Tyree was the guy that on 3rd and 5, last time the Patriots were in this building, trying to have the perfect 19 in those season, caught that ridiculous ball for the Giants, pinning it against his helmet from Eli Manning.
Right.
And the only reason the Patriots didn't go 19-0 is that David Tyree made what was considered then the most ridiculous catch in the history of the game.
So they were looking cursed at that point, like, no pun intended. Like, I can't believe this is happening again. Like, a miracle once-in-a-lifetime catch is happening again to stop us from winning a Super Bowl. That's what it looked like at that point.
It happened again. Then on the next play, you give it to Marshawn Lynch, and he goes for 1.
Right.
Now, inexplicably at this point, Bill Belichick decides to not use a timeout, and he lets about 25 seconds run off the clock, which I don't know that he was ever asked about that last night. I think it kind of got lost in fog, but it doesn't make any sense at all.
But, Andrew, I would say he's letting the clock run out. My question is, why didn't the Patriots, knowing that they were probably going to need the ball back, call a timeout?
That's what he asked. Bill Belichick did not call a timeout.
I see what you said. Okay.
Right. And because they're going to score, you're going to need the ball back. So we're all standing there saying, call timeout. Call. They never call timeout. And then Pete Carroll inexplicably decides to throw the ball. Now, he says he threw the ball on second down because if they ran it on third down, considering Bill hadn't burned a timeout and they got stopped, then they would have to burn a timeout with about 20 seconds to go. And on third and one, then out of timeouts, they would have to get it in. They'd have no chance to stop the clock. I don't know if I buy the logic. That's Pete's logic. I know Deion Sanders on our set called it the worst call in the history of football. Emmitt Smith called it that as well on Twitter. Michael Irvin on our set said that he questions why Russell Wilson didn't change the call in the huddle and that he questions Russell Wilson, period.
Do we know?
Call in the huddle.
Because I wondered this, Andrew. I wondered if that was Pete Carroll covering for a bad quarterback decision. Do we know that that was the called play?
Pete Carroll is adamant that he told Daryl Bevel, who's the offensive coordinator and the play caller, throw it. And Pete is adamant as well that that was the call from the sideline and that Russell ran it as called. However, but, again, you will hear a lot of – Russell's not taking any blame here yet. I mean, as I said, some of it came from our set on NFL Network last night. But the narrative, as it develops and matures over the entire offseason, and we will have now months and months to discuss this, there will be plenty of people to turn it back on Russell Wilson, fair or not, and say, you should have known better, and you should have changed the play.
Hey, Kevin said earlier, if I'm Russell Wilson and I look and I don't have any good receivers to throw to, why not try to run it? What's the downside of that? Even if you lose yardage, that's better than an interception.
Well, look, they actually had a good play. In terms of the setup, well, let's step out for a second. Give Malcolm Butler from Division II West Alabama all the credit in the world.
Right, absolutely.
He won the play. It could have and should have been a touchdown. Malcolm Butler saw it, recognized it from film, and jumped it. He beat Ricardo Lockett to the spot. He was the better football player on that play, and that's the reason he's going to Disney World today. And
that's
the commercial
right.
just ran. It's not Brady. It's Malcolm Butler and Julian Edelman going to Disney World. So he deserves all the credit in the world because he was the DB that, I don't even want to say got beaten, but on the miraculous Jermaine Kearse play.
Yeah, he was the defender.
Plays earlier, right, he was the defender. And the game was over at that point. I mean, let's call it as it is.
It really
the
was.
The Patriots were deflated. If you want to call it that, that game was over.
The margin of error, as we've talked about, is so thin at this level of professional sports, isn't it?
I'll take it back. Go back to the Browns and the Colts week 14. If Dante Whitner wraps up Boom Heron on 4th-and-1, Browns win the game. Johnny Manziel likely never gets on the field the entire year. I mean, the margin of error and the way that one play changes legacies, off-season storylines,
yep.
contracts. You want the other conspiracy theory. There's a conspiracy theory that, and Marshall and Deion and Michael brought up last night as well, that the Seahawks on the verge of giving Marshawn Lynch a lot of money and also giving Russell Wilson a nice extension as well would rather have seen Russell the hero than Marshawn the hero last night.
No, that's absurd.
You're trying to win a game.
But I'll tell you this. Players think about that stuff. It's the politics of any job. Their job, their office place is no different than your office place. When you see the way other employees are treated.
Why did he get the promotion? Why did he get the better desk? Right.
Exactly. How favors are handed out. The players see things the same way.
Well, look, they were two great teams. It was a great Super Bowl, the most watched television event in history. You couldn't have asked for anything more exciting. Obviously, I was sad with the way it ended up in the last 5 seconds, but congratulations to the Patriots. They were a better team and they won it. So, by the way, just real quick, Andrew, because you spent the week in Glendale, great Super Bowl week, right?
Yeah, it really was. One thing about Phoenix is it's really spread out, which is kind of annoying. I personally prefer Super Bowls in tight urban areas like New Orleans or Annapolis or San Diego. They're all great towns, but Phoenix puts on a great show. It's a great building, really, as well.
And it was a well-presented Super Bowl, too, with the halftime show, and everything was really good. And I saw so many photos of you that you tweeted this week of you with guys who are 18 inches taller than you. It was pretty funny.
Well, the one that's good is that NFL Honors, which is our big award show Saturday night. Calais Campbell, I believe, is the tallest player in the NFL. He's 6'8". And a couple of years ago when he came into NFL Network, we took a photo where I was standing on a riser next to him, and he's on the floor, and he's still countless feet taller than me. Walking out of the award show, we ran into each other Saturday night, and I said, let's do this again. And I barely come up to his armpit.
A lot of people don't know that Andrew Siciliano is 4'11".
He's a midget. He's actually a midget. So.
It's true. I'm 5'7 with good shoes.
You've got plenty to talk about on the NFL Network for the next week as you break down minute by minute this Super Bowl. But then does it get hard after that, Andrew?
Yeah, it does, because you got to create stories. But I'll be honest with you, it only lasts a couple of weeks. The NFL Combine, or the Draft Combine in Indianapolis, starts the 20th, the Underwear Olympics, that is, where all the best college players run, jump, get poked and prodded, and get ready for the draft. And then I'll be starting a new show, Pass to the Draft, which is at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 10 weeks of every night breaking down what the heck's going to happen in the draft.
Give me just a quick guess as to the future of Deflategate. Is it gone? Is it going to get bigger?
It's going to take a couple of more weeks. From people I talk to, there's definitely going to be an answer. Remember, they've handed it over. Ted Wells, the special investigator, has dealt with these issues in the past. I don't know which way it's going. You hear a different spin every way. But I think that if there is going to be punishment, to be fair, it will be handed down before free agency and the start of the new league year, which is, I think, March 10th. Which is when players whose contracts are up can jump to other teams, trades can happen, so on and so forth. So I'd say sometime in the next 4.5-5 weeks.
Look, whatever they do to the Patriots, it will have been worth it for them to win another Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, this is their shut-up moment.
Exactly.
You know, the Bulls were fair yesterday, and, you know, they won.
Fair
and
square.
Now they have four for Brady and Belichick, which is,
that's right,
you know, the highway to Canton.
Andrew, thank you for all the appearances on the Kevin Bean Show throughout the NFL season. I hope we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Let's do it very soon, guys. It's been fun.
Thanks.
All right, man. Take care. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
The delightful Leslie Bibb joins us in studio just after 9 o'clock. She stars in a new Amazon.com pilot called Salem Rogers. That is hilarious, by the way, and she's so good in it. I'm very excited that she's coming in here. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
It really is good, by the way.
Yeah,
if you haven't
very funny.
Had a chance, check it out on Amazon. Do you need Amazon Prime to watch it? Is that how it works?
I don't think so for these pilots. I think anyone can watch these, but we'll ask Leslie. She'll know.
It's really funny. Rachel Dratch is also in it, and Harry Hamlin. It's really outstanding. I haven't really enjoyed it. Of course, people are still talking about the Super Bowl from last night.
Oh, what happened? I turned that off near the end. I missed it. I assume we won another one?
I got to say, Bean, you are a better man than me, or you're an android. I haven't quite figured it out which is which, because if it had been my Philadelphia Eagles in that situation, and that had happened with 20 seconds left, I would have to take the rest of the week off.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to get myself out of bed, because I would be debating whether to walk into the deep end of my pool with lead weights strapped to my ankles, or whether to suck on the business end of a shotgun.
I think this is when it's helpful that Bean has no heart.
I think so, too. I think a complete lack of emotions really helps him deal with the worst-case scenario that has to pop up every once in a while.
Dude, I appreciate you saying that, but I am devastated on the inside. I barely slept a wink. I just tossed and turned and replayed that in my mind all night long. But what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I just gotta lash out in anger, scream,
wail at the gods. I don't know, do something.
They had a great season until the last 20 seconds, so I guess that's all I could ask for this time.
Talking to Andrews and said, it was a great Super Bowl, we couldn't ask for more. It could be.
Well, I know that not everybody listening was rooting for the Seahawks too. So, you know, in general, very entertaining Super Bowl for everybody.
But you're a replicant. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Did you catch the slap against Taylor Swift during the halftime show at Katy Perry?
No, I did not.
Burn.
No. Did it happen?
Uh-huh.
I forgot she said she was going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, others said she was going to do that. I don't think it came from her.
It
but what happened?
It went down.
Tell me.
During her California Girls segment, where she was dancing with sharks and palm trees and stuff.
Right.
All of her backup dancers, did you see what they were dressed in?
No.
Those no belly button, high-waisted 1950s bikini outfits with the polka dots.
that Taylor Swift always wears when she puts on her swimming costume and goes down to the 1920s swimming hole with the rest of the guys in straw hats playing banjos.
So do you think that that was intentional?
What was the biggest problem between the two of them? What started the feud?
Backup dancers.
Thank you, Kevin.
Dancers. Yep, you're
Thank
right.
you.
You're right.
Thank you. Good day, sir. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And then what happened to those backup dancers after Katy Perry's show? They were all lined up and shot.
I don't...
Yep. Mowed down with a machine gun.
I don't think that's
so
true.
They represented Taylor Swift.
How about that? Yeah. Hey, speaking of the Super Bowl, I have a question we haven't addressed here this morning, and you can laugh at me if this is a stupid question. I honestly don't know. But the Bud Light commercial with the big Pac-Man game that you run around and you get to play the Pac-Man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not real, is it?
Yes.
You can actually do that someplace?
No, they did it for the commercial.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
but I'm saying it's not real. They don't.
Like
that's not
a
thing.
Somewhere.
Because it should be a thing. That should be a Pac-Man park where you can go and actually play Pac-Man and be the thing, right?
It looked fun.
Don't you think that looked like a blast?
Yeah, but that's why they did it for the commercial, to make you say that looks like fun. Bud Light is good. I like it.
You know what happened if it was real is that all of us would do it before you, Bean. You would never do it. You would
That's
just go,
true.
In theory, I think that would
you
be fun.
You wouldn't even play Pac-Man on your television if it was on.
I like the concept of that existing in the world, though.
Yeah, but I do too, but we would do it, is what I'm saying.
I'm just saying it's something that they invented for the commercial, but now they need to make it a real theme park because it's awesome.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay. You'd go, right, Kevin?
Yeah,
you'd
totally go and
play Pac-Man.
I'd do it in a second.
He'd do it drunk, but he'd do it.
How?
Yeah, I would. Oh, by the way, back to the Swift-Perry feud.
Yes.
When asked last night what Taylor Swift thought of the halftime show, she said Missy Elliott had a great Super Bowl performance.
Wow, what a burn.
Burn. It's all about the burns.
She's dumb.
Right. And we were talking about the commercials earlier. We neglected to mention it, thanks to one of the listeners who wrote in. How about the Esurance commercials? Did they almost win the night? First of all, Lindsay Lohan shows up to pick up that kid from school. She's like, "You're not my mother." Well, I'm kind of like your mother. I'm the same age. We both put a lot of miles on it. And she was like dragging fences and stuff behind her in the car.
That was pretty good.
And then the girl goes in to get her prescription, and her pharmacist has been replaced by Heisenberg,
that
for God's sake.
That was very funny. That was
I thought
very
those
funny.
Spots were really effective and very funny.
They were good.
And sort of star-studded. So there's that.
And no kids died in either one of them, which was refreshing.
Get over the kid dying.
I'm just saying the nationwide kid died.
The pig wasn't really strapped to a rocket, and the kid didn't really die.
I'm just saying it was a downer.
And Pac-Man isn't a thing.
All right.
It's all fantasy land. All right?
Maybe I'm confused too easily to watch TV anymore.
That may be the case.
Grandpa needs to only deal with things that are real.
Maybe the early onset dementia is really taking a toll on your ability to enjoy television.
But did you see the size of the lion that Katy Perry was riding? That was huge.
And it was made out of metal.
I've known Bean for a long time, and he always comes away with the opposite of anything I see. It just is. It's unbelievable.
No, but you had to have been bummed out by the dead kid, too. That wasn't just me, Kevin.
Right, but I didn't think maybe it was real.
He wasn't made nervous because a pig was strapped to a rocket.
I don't like it.
Okay. All right.
Maybe we should just talk to people with yard sales and see what they're selling. Maybe that would be safer content for this show. No one has to get nervous. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of celebrity birthdays, Leslie Bibb and I?
Yeah.
Same birthday.
Is that right?
Isn't that something? We should win something, I think.
For having the same birthday?
Birthdays. We should get a ribbon.
Okay.
Or something. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dwayne Dog the Bounty Hunter Chapman is 62 years old today. Shakira turns 38. Gemma Arterton celebrates her 29th birthday. Do we have time for that moment where Kevin met Gemma Arterton?
Nope.
We're running late already. What's a couple extra seconds?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
name. Give it another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was a moment with Kevin.
And she's so great. She's like, give it another go. She knows you can't do it, but she's going to just mock you until you just crawl up into a ball.
I got to admit, she did the right thing.
She did that.
I've got money in Las Vegas. Kevin's not going to be able to say Leslie Bibb, by the way.
I'm sure you.
That's funny because he's wearing one. He's wearing a bib. You'd think that'd be easy for him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Who are we shouting out? Who are you pointing out there, Leslie Bibb?
I was shouting out to my writer of Lindsay Stoddart is in the other room. She's
the one who wrote the Salem Rogers show?
She wrote the Salem Rogers show.
Well done for her,
well
by the
done.
Way.
Well done.
Very
and
nice.
And she's obsessed with you guys.
Well, that's a bad choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's, I think, a smart lady.
Leslie Bibb is here, and it's been a while since we've had you visit, but we're glad to see you again. It seems like you've been very busy. You work a lot, by the way. When I look at your IMDb, I have to sit down. I get dizzy how much work
you
do.
That's really nice of you to say, because I feel like I don't work at all.
Really? But look at all of the TV shows and all of the movies that you've been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, it's been really, really good. But I'm lucky. I got to tell you, though, that I'm most proud of what I just did, the show. I'm super, super excited about the Salem Rogers. I just love this character so much. I think I feel really blessed to get to play a woman this insane and get to do the things I get to do. Usually girls, we don't get to be that wild.
Yeah.
It's like Eastbound and Down meets Bridesmaids.
That's a great way to describe this show. And it's available for free. You don't even have to be a Prime member, right? You can see it for free at Amazon.com. Is that right?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so, too. I'm so not techie at all. But I have Amazon Prime because I like to order, you know, like toilet paper and get it delivered to my house
for free in two days.
I have to say that.
So, Leslie, you're not techie. Tell me what the meeting was like where they explained to you that you were going to be doing a TV show that's not on TV.
I was like, well, can I cash a check?
Is it a real check?
Is it a real check? Is that real? I don't know. They didn't. I know, though. It's like, it's so weird. It's like you stream. You can stream everything. I mean, yeah. I'm so excited. I want the show to go just so you can. I want to be able to sit down and binge watch a show. Like, that's what I do with, like, Game of Thrones and stuff. Mm-hmm. I like, withhold myself so I can binge watch, like, as many back-to-back, because I hate waiting. I'm an impatient person.
So then you spend, like a week and a half doing
it. Happen.
Well, but, that's like hard with a show like Game of Thrones, because it's so everywhere all the time. It's kind of impossible to miss spoilers.
But don't you think this is, like, the wave of the future that you should be able to, like...
Totally. Everything should be on demand all the time, always. That's what we're getting used to now.
I know. I mean, I've started to... I don't watch anything when it's actually airing anymore.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think anyone does. Except for sporting events, live sporting events. But
like
other than that.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Please don't bring that up. We're trying to let the wounds heal.
I'm so mad about that game.
You were mad?
Oh, I'm so mad.
Where did you watch it?
In my house, screaming at my television.
And I see from your
tweet. I'm not even a football fan.
You seem like you were rooting for the Seahawks. How come?
Yes. I don't know. They feel like the underdog. I just don't like the Patriots.
Yeah. They're easy to hate.
It's like the Yankees of football, right? Okay, I'm sorry. I went dead silent.
No, no. No, they're easy to hate. I mean, that's...
I get that, but I also get they come back and say, you know, you hate us because you ain't us because we're the ones who win all the time. I mean, the fact that Tom Brady has won 4 Super Bowls, I mean, you can't deny he's great.
He is great. Somebody just told me that the Seahawks won the Super Bowl last year.
They did.
So,
that's true.
I mean, I don't know. But I just didn't want the Patriots to win.
That's all it was.
And I like Boston. I like that accent.
Oh, no, you don't.
I do. It's one of my favorites.
Really?
What?
I love it. I did a movie in Boston, and I would just literally sit there with my driver, and I'm like, just talk. I don't care what you talk about. Just say everything.
The worst accent that
exists. It's the best accent, and only followed up by, like, maybe a Minnesota accent I'm super excited about.
Okay.
I love it. Again.
Have you ever been cast in something where you could do the Boston accent?
No.
Oh, they got to get you on
that.
It's
a tough one to do.
I know. It's super tough, yeah. And then... My boyfriend's really good at accents, and he did a movie, and he had to learn a Boston accent in like 2 weeks, and he did it like perfectly and impeccably.
Okay, but can we just say for the audience's benefit, your boyfriend is one of the 10 best actors in
That's
the world,
really nice of you.
Sam Rockwell. I mean, come on, that guy can do. That guy could play your role on Salem Rogers.
No,
and do it better than you.
No, he couldn't. Take it back, or I'm going to punch you all the way up there in Seattle.
I'm saying he's that good, is what I'm saying.
He is really amazing, and I think he's probably like I'd say top three. I wouldn't even say top 10. Top three. That Rockwell, but yeah.
We got to take a quick break, Leslie. We're so happy that you're here, but we want to come back and talk a bunch more about the show because it is very funny. And I mean, the pace of this thing and your character, man, is just a piranha, man. She just eats through everything in the world, doesn't she? And I see why it's so much fun to play.
Yeah, it's really, really fun.
You can watch it for free on Amazon.com. It's called Salem Rogers, Model of the Year 1998. Leslie Bibb is here. More with our guests right after this on camera. Leslie Bibb in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yay.
She is the star of Salem Rogers, Model of the Year 1998. Now, you won't find this on your DVR. This is at Amazon.com, but you can watch the pilot for free, and you go and you rate it. And Leslie, the way this works is if enough people watch it and like it, then you get to make more?
Yeah, that's how Amazon decides whether or not. It's one of the factors into how they decide what shows they're going to pick up. So, yeah, you have to watch them. People are like, I mean, there are the metrics, which is this new word that I learned that you could, they have a system where they can see.
Oh,
how
you
many,
sound so smart right
I
now.
I am super smart.
I'm going to start using that word.
metrics. But that you, they can see how many people, like if you start it, if you finish it, like that, all that stuff matters.
Right.
But I just say, go on and give us 5 stars. Don't
Look,
be
lots
grubby.
Of people.
Just give it up.
Lots it of up people are us. Watching shows already on their laptops, their computers, their phones, the whole deal. So, I mean, there's the lines are blurring so much between TV and internet. It doesn't even matter where your show is. And this show is so funny. Tell us about Salem Rogers. Tell me what your backstory in your mind is about Salem Rogers.
I guess, you know, Salem is a girl who was in the height of her power, was like a model, a supermodel, and she was a bit of a hot mess, had a slight addiction problem, and went to rehab, was forced to go to rehab, and it's kind of nice there, so she just stayed for 10 years. and so she liked, you know, the luxuries there, and they've kicked her out, but she doesn't think they've kicked her out, but they've kicked her out, and she's got the moxie, and she's like, I'm going to go and get my modeling career back. I'm going to get those angel wings from that Hornado Heidi Klum.
And I like the word Hornado. That's
I know,
good.
Hornado is
That's a great word.
She can't, Heidi Klum is her nemesis. She took everything.
So
now
in
she's
her,
a TV show.
In her mind, she's still the youngest, hottest, prettiest thing
in
the world.
In her mind, I think she thinks that she's 22, 23 years old, and like not an And there's something about her lack of edit and her gumption that I wish I had. Like, I love stepping into
But you would have no friends if you were anything like Salem Rogers.
I don't know. People kind of like her sometimes. I mean, she's a girl that's going to pick you up on a Tuesday night, and you're going to come back Wednesday morning with your underwear and your purse and a smile
Although
on your face.
Although I don't
face.
Have a purse, you're right.
Yeah, okay, in your back pocket.
All right, good.
Or around your toe. And you're going to have a smile on your face. And so
What a crazy character she is, though, because you run into thing after thing after thing that should convince you that those days are behind you, and you are just blissfully...
No, I just think
unaware.
They are. No, they just don't see it my way. And so there's something to that. Like, you know, when somebody's saying something to her, she's like, no, this is how it is. Like, it's so amazing that when someone says no and she wants to hear yes.
Yeah.
She hears
she
yes.
She hears yes.
She hears yes. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Tell me about the runway scene where
oh my
you're
God.
More, probably more naked than you've ever been in anything you've
I
ever
mean,
done,
more
I bet.
Naked. I was totally naked except for like...
Pasties, right?
No, I didn't even have a pasty
on. No pasties
on.
Either.
I don't think I had a pasty. Pasties are weird to me. I actually feel like they make you look at your boobs even more. I think I had some like taped scarves.
They got a body double for fall. No, spoiler alert for falling off the stage, though, right?
Yeah, but that's my ass. That's my ass. But when you thank you. Can I say ass?
Yeah.
Okay.
You already said it 3 times now.
Okay. Can I ass? That stunt woman was amazing. She was buck naked, and did that fall. Tasered, and I like how frozen her body was.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you get tasered a couple of times.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
And I got tasered right then, and she does this great fall into the crowd, tasered. And I love that stunt woman.
I like that they taser you in the neck.
Yeah, that's where you should be tasered.
<That's insane. laughs>
Yeah. I like that she says when she sees the guy at the last time, she's like, damn it, stick shift. Some guy that she calls stick shift because he's really thin. And but yeah, naked down a runway. That was pretty nerve-wracking.
I'll bet.
How about Harry Hamlin? How great is he?
And those harem pants.
Yes.
Harry Hamlin and harem pants.
He's amazing
pants.
With mountains of cocaine and just...
Boniva. It's yep. Boniva.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
It's not even cocaine. It's Boniva.
Right.
It's bone density.
It's a great cast, and it's very funny. And the writer that's
that
with you today.
Rachel Dratch.
Rachel Dratch is hilarious, like she always is.
Always.
Lindsay Stoddard is with you here today. She's in the other room, but she was just in, and we were chatting with her. And the thing about this is this show is funny from minute one and doesn't let up.
Thank you.
That's what's incredible. You rarely see that many funny scenes in a row back to back. That's
and
why I loved it so.
To get to be a girl and do that stuff, you know, I feel like it's really easy. A lot of times, you know, guys get to play parts like this.
Yeah.
And so I feel really lucky that Lindsay wrote this part. I mean, when I met her, I was like, yeah, anyway, so I'm going to get this part because I just was like,
you were Salem.
I was Salem. You're right. I was like, yeah, this isn't going to go down any other way. And if it doesn't go down my way, I'm going to show up at your house and maybe kidnap one
of your
children.
Is it possible she's afraid of you?
Maybe. Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I'm weird.
All right.
Are you
let me play this clip from the show, by the way, from Salem Rogers, and this will give you an idea of the personality of a woman who just doesn't believe she's not a supermodel anymore in 2015, and she's talking about why rehab was not for her.
And you know what? The people there, they didn't understand me. They judged me for being pretty and skinny, and they really hated the fact that I could still drink. We are going to go to my modeling agency, get back the Victoria's Secret contract that Ornato Heidi Klum stole from me, move back to Paris, and live the privileged, consequence-free life that beautiful white and light-skinned black women are entitled to.
That tells you everything you know about Salem Rogers.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a show?
You want to take her home for Thanksgiving, don't you?
Yeah. Have you ever done a show, Leslie, where you've had more dialogue at one time? I mean, like, just you spew.
I spew. No, I don't. I haven't. And I mean, I sort of get nervous, like, holy crap, what's going to happen when we go to series? Because I'm the geek who, like, puts all of her lines on a tape and I listen to them. So I just constantly listen. I'm going to be like some weirdo idiot savant walking around with like lines taped and listening to my lines.
You're
going to
literally lose it, aren't you?
I might lose it, but that'll work for Salem.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
she's true. Probably on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
All right. We've told you that there's a naked supermodel getting tased. What else do you need to know? Go to Amazon.com and watch the pilot for Salem Rogers, Model of the Year 1998, and then give it high ratings if you like it. And then is there some sort of a deadline by which we know whether you get to make a series?
February 15th, they stop measuring, I think, right?
Okay.
February 15th.
By February 15th, then.
Yeah,
and if you watch it,
all your dreams will come true.
That's true.
I have heard that's actually true.
Yeah. That's true.
Leslie, let's not make it so long before the next time you come back,
you
okay?
I know, you guys, I love you. You're so freaking funny. Don't do it. I said freaking.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
You're so great. I love you guys.
Thank
you. Come on.
Kevin's making. Kevin's imagining things.
Come on now.
I thought that was a good one. Remember that commercial where a guy going into space and then a green monkey comes around an elephant?
No, I was watching a different Super Bowl.
You don't remember that one. It was good. I liked it. I liked it. It was a good lot.
Hey, congratulations to Joanne Lewandowski, which I'm sure I said incorrectly, from Long Beach. Check this out, you guys. She, Friday night, is going to be at the Grammy Museum at LA Live for a K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Hozier, who's awesome, by the way. And she's also eligible to see Hozier one more time at the Slane Castle in Ireland. That's K-Rock's World Tour 2015 destination number 4. Your chance to win is coming up on K-Rock. Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat for Monday.
We found out this morning that Slane Castle is literally a castle.
Literally a castle.
Brought to you by Kevin's Board of Tourism. last night was the Super Bowl.
What?
What?
Yeah, that happened. And people are still talking about the commercials and the halftime show as much as they are with that interception.
Was this in the news?
Pretty much ended the game for Seattle. I got the sense that you guys were not as impressed by the Katy Perry halftime show as I was. I really enjoyed it.
I thought technically it was great, but I don't know. For some reason, those songs and a football game and audience just aren't a good fit for me. I felt like that was more of a little girl's dream, that show, you know?
It's a hell of a thing coming from you, Swifty.
I know. I know.
Swifty.
Now, if Taylor Swift were doing it, it'd be a totally different story.
That'd be the best thing ever.
No, she was fine. I enjoyed Beyonce more last year. I enjoyed that performance more and those songs more.
See, I like this more. I thought it was more changed up every 3 minutes or so. It seemed like there was another stage and another scenario and another costume. I thought it moved along. It was like a little variety show packed into 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
They kept it moving.
They sure did.
I liked it.
People were wondering if she was going to take a shot at Taylor Swift, as some had promised. And if you believe websites like HollywoodLife.com, she did indeed. During the segment where she was singing California Girls with the palm trees and the sharks and the girls dancing behind her, if you look at the backup dancers, they are dressed in replicas of the red and white polka dot bathing suit that Taylor Swift was famous for wearing when she was stalking that Kennedy kid when she bought the house next door to his. The one that doesn't show her belly button, you know.
Right.
Well, all her backup dancers were dressed in that same bathing suit. And if you may remember, this whole Swift-Perry feud started over. Anyone?
Backup dancers.
Backup dancers.
That's right.
The prosecution rests, Your Honor. Send out the jury.
Point Katy Perry.
Point Katy Perry. So it was subtle, but some people believe she did get her diss in. Which was, look at these girls who are dressed just like the girl I hate, I guess, was the diss. It was lost on me, but
I have a question about the Katy Perry show. Ralph?
Yes.
Were you happy to see Missy Elliott show up and sing songs from 15 years ago, or do you think that was unnecessary and you would have rather seen more Katy Perry?
I thought it was fun. I liked those songs, and I thought it was fun to see her. I thought she sounded pretty good. Like Lenny Kravitz, too. I wouldn't want to sit through a whole Lenny Kravitz show, but I thought it was fun to see him.
You don't mind having a piece of it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, had a good time. What were the worst-ranked Super Bowl commercials? Earlier in the show, I talked
about... Dead
Kid. I talked about the ones...
Got to be the Dead Kid.
...that people loved, like the Budweiser puppy who comes home to his buddies who are the Clydesdales. The Like a Girl, hashtag Like a Girl commercial was very popular. The Fiat commercial with the little Fiat getting the... Boner pill becoming a big Fiat. People seem to like that. The Doritos commercial with the guy on the airplane. But these were the bottom-ranked Super Bowl commercials, according to a panel from USA Today that were ranking the commercials throughout the broadcast. Number five, Machine Zone, Game of War. I don't know what that was. Was that Kate Upton getting bathed and armored for her battle?
Yes. Yeah, it looked like a Game of Thrones ad, but it was for Game of War, yeah.
Yeah. People didn't like that. It was fifth... lowest
ranked. Well, they're wrong.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was for, but I like to put on that medal. Squarespace's ad of Jeff Bridges playing a bell going ohm while people slept next to him.
That was a little confusing.
I missed that one.
Apparently the scroll there was dreamingwithjeff.com. That's his new website. If you go there, you can hear his dream songs.
Okay. All right.
It's like droned music and spoken word stuff to help you go to sleep at night. I mean, that's what the album's
made
for.
Dude, I would love to go to sleep with Jeff Bridges every night. You know what I'm saying?
Well, now's your chance.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do.
I don't think you know what I'm saying.
We know exactly what
I'm saying. Give me a little of the dude.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. The T-Mobile commercial, Save the Data, with Kim Kardashian pretending to mock herself.
People like that or did not like that?
Did not like that.
That
was the third lowest ranking.
We don't like self-aware Kim. We want to make fun of Kim.
Well, because she's not really. It's all faux self-awareness. It's like she gets it. She's going to go right back to being the person that she's making fun of in that commercial tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, she does have a book coming out of all of her selfies.
Selfish. It's called Selfish. It's the name of her book of selfies. The toenail fungus ad.
Yeah, that was...
Yes, thank you.
Toes wearing football helmets fighting fungus on the field of
thank
battle.
You.
That was the worst
what
done,
the hell?
Too. Like, that
it was
looked
pathetic.
Like it was from 1967.
It looked like a Saturday Night Live parody of a commercial
really
about toenail fungus. He's strapping on the helmet. Ah, let's go, toes. Let's fight that fungus.
Yeah, that was nonsense.
I turned to my dad. I was like, $4 million. They spent
That's
$4
million? That's
what it cost? Well, every 30-second ad was at least $4 million, right?
Hey, before you tell us what number one was.
Okay.
Something else we haven't talked about with commercials, and that is, did you see the GoDaddy ad of the guy sitting at a desk, not at a party, just working on
yes.
a calculator? Now,
yes.
do you think that that was something that they hastily put together when they got the one that they were going to do, pulled by PETA? I think it was like a backup ad that they just had to scramble because they already bought the time.
Did seem kind of low rent, didn't it?
It sure did. Seemed like one take, one guy
shot.
Sitting at a desk.
We feel bad for you, guy who has his own business, guy.
Right.
Did seem slapped together. Yep. Now, I don't even remember number one. It's hard to say number one, but it's the lowest ranked commercial, according to this panel from USA Today during the broadcast. So maybe you can help me fill in the blank.
All right.
It's called Heroes Charge from Ucool. And it was an ad for a mobile game download. Any Heroes Charge? Is any
I don't know
sense?
What that is.
I no. I saw the ad for NBC's Heroes Reborn.
Yeah, not that.
But I don't remember Heroes
this
Charge
is for another
at all.
Mobile game download. It wasn't the Liam Neeson one.
Was it? Because I like the Liam Neeson.
Liam was
one.
Funny.
I don't even know what it's about. For
Clash of Clans with Liam. Neeson.
Clash of Clans. Right. This was
I like that
called
one.
From Ucool. And it was an ad for a mobile game download called Heroes Charge. Heroes Charge. Anyone ringing?
Got no idea.
They spent $4 million. None of us remember it.
Maybe that's why it's the worst, because no one remembers anything about it. So. Fast and the Furious 7? That was
it's a good ad.
It's a good ad.
I liked it.
They should have just said, Kevin's film. As he was driving through skyscrapers, I thought, Kevin's film.
That's what I thought, too.
IMAX.
How about Jurassic World, Ralph?
Looked good.
Looked good. How
about
Ted 2?
How about Ted 2?
How about Ted 2?
Going
with
to
Brady?
Milk Tom Brady.
That was funny.
Very funny.
Very funny stuff.
And I'm going to vote for Tomorrowland as well. I thought that was a real good trailer.
Yeah, it looked good.
Really?
I want to see that.
I think it's got potential. I don't know. I wasn't as excited by that as I was some of the other films I saw. Jurassic World kind of won me over. I wasn't too sold on Jurassic World from the first teaser trailer we put out. But this one made me
maybe bite a little bit more. Yeah. It seems like it's much more of a sort of SeaWorld parody than I initially had thought, which is kind of cool.
Chris Pratt's great.
He's always good. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dwayne the Dog Bounty Hunter. Nope. Dwayne Dog the Bounty Hunter Chapman. It's hard to say all that. Is 62. Shakira is 38. Zasha Mamet. She plays Shoshana on Girls on HBO. She is 27 years old. And former Bond girl, lovely and talented Gemma Arterton, celebrates her 29th birthday today. I wonder how Kevin would say Gemma Arterton's name if he had a chance to meet her.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
name. Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I tried it like 10 times. Stupid name. I'm so dumb.
I think I probably screwed it up a couple more times than that, too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show with The Bachelor Report.
Yeah.
Ralph and P will be back.
My Super Bowl's on tonight.
Talking about The Bachelor Report. Drew Curtis from FARC.com. You guys aware of that guy? FARC?
Yeah, it's been
yes,
a long time.
FARC.
He's running to be the governor of Kentucky.
No, he's not.
What?
For reals, by the way.
That's a FARC story.
For reals.
Yeah,
for
he's
reals.
Farking us.
I think that's
he's
for
saying,
reals.
FARC you, Kentucky.
I think it's actually happening.
He's FARCing around.
I don't think so.
But
he's,
this is
he's
a guy
farked
who,
up.
This is a guy who made his millions putting up videos of people farting, and now all of a sudden he wants to be the governor of a state? This is a farkin' joke.
It could be. Very well could be. Plus, we'll continue with K-Rock's World Tour 2015. Destination number 4 is Hozier at Slane Castle in Ireland.
That's literally a castle.
Tomorrow morning.